It is the weekend. It's John Givens hosting. I'm joined by Neil Ackerton and by Mike Kearney. And we're going to focus more on next season, actually. But obviously, instructed, informed by things going on last weekend, but also and beyond. Because it's been an interesting weekend for me in terms of how people are talking about next year. That's and Man City were getting beat 2-0 at one point against Crystal Palace, and one of the WhatsApp groups I'm in, people were saying, like, I'm not sure about City next season. You know, like, everyone keeps assuming that they'll bounce back, and one of the lads in there was saying, I'm not sure about them next year at all. And then, of course, they end up winning 5-2, and Paul Callum ends up getting a bit ripped, and obviously, see what the fuck you've done there, what do you know? But I do know what he was saying, and I am interested to know your opinions on sort of City next season. But then there's the other teams as well. There's obviously Arsenal, and you feel like how Arteta's trying to manage the narrative around this year is as much around next season. It is around, you know, the Champions League this season as well. And then there's Newcastle, and this is where it does allude to the weekend, because I noticed Rob Gutman, who we were just with then, tweeting after Newcastle's very impressive 4-1 win against the less impressive Manchester United, saying that he's got mild Newcastle concerns for next season in terms of how they could kick on. And I can see it. I think they've got some really good players, and I think if they can keep hold of them and add to them, which they should be able to do if they get into the top four, you know, you could see them kicking on again next year, whether that's a title challenge or not. You'd have to sort of wait and see. And then there's the Chelsea's, the Manchester United's of this world as well. So are you thinking about next season, Neil? And you, well, you did say briefly on the overlap, and that reminded me that I wanted to do this show. Are you thinking about next season, and are you looking for clues from what's going on at the moment for who might do well next year, or will it be a completely separate beast?
So I think both of those things are true. I think you can get some clues, but it is obviously a separate beast. Not least because everyone starts back at zero. Let's be really clear about this. I think that the fixture list helped us massively this season. In the summer, I kept saying I want the manager to have first six, five relatively straightforward games by the standard of the Premier League and a trip to Manchester, and that's exactly what we got. And part of the reason why I wanted the trip to Manchester was we don't do very well in Manchester, so it was one where if he's going to have one difficult game early, let's just get that one out the way at worst, and at best we get what we got, which is, you know, a really satisfying victory at Old Trafford. So I think fixture list will play a part. I think the way in which the European impact the season this time, we've seen it. And I think it's more complicated than just, oh, and there's a couple more games. I think the nature of the Swiss system and the way in which it operates means that there's just it's harder to cruise. You know, Real Madrid and Paris Saint-Germain both end up, as do Manchester City, all end up needing to do the playoff. And as we've seen, where we feel like we got a bit shafted, I don't know if we did or not, but, you know, we had a bit of hard lines getting Paris Saint-Germain when we did. I'd rather look at it that way. But that could happen under any circumstances. And the best way to have the likeliest control of it is to do well. You don't want the two extra games because you could get anyone. You could get Real Madrid. You could get Paris Saint-Germain. So you can't cruise. And I think that this is my... I understand why people are looking at Newcastle at the minute and seeing them as a really good side who could be capable of next season really kicking on. But I think they haven't done it with the reality of the Champions League fixtures. And I think if you're them, the best you can hope for is a really good Champions League run, and some good wins, especially at home, not dissimilar to what Villa have ended up with, but doing better than Villa in the league, where at this point in time you're third and you're comfortable. And I think if they can go on that journey, then that's Newcastle's best possible journey next season. I do think that, unless they choose to absolutely swerve Europe. I think it is us, Arsenal and City have got a bit more of a question mark over them. I think if it's Chelsea, it's come from almost nowhere, and I don't quite see it without a change of manager. And then as you're sort of going down the league, even the idea of someone who ends up with no European football next season coming from nowhere, I just can't quite see that either. There isn't an obvious candidate for that this time out. I think there might be the year after, which is really getting ahead of yourself. You know, there could be that someone misses out next season and is therefore able to put all the resources in. But I think for now, United and Tottenham are just too far away in terms of level of ability. If neither of them are playing European football next season, I think there'll be a pain in the arse. I think I could quite easily see them coming quite comfortably in the top eight, even if they're not that good, because they'll have the freshness. And in a way, I think it's the best thing that can happen, certainly for United, which is to be able to run with a smaller squad and be able to bump hone it into what they want. But no, ultimately, I think it is us, Arsenal and City, and we can talk about City separately once Mike's had a go.
Yeah. What do you think, Mike, in terms of the likely runners and riders for next season? Do you think it is Arsenal and City, or can me and or Gutman throw you a Newcastle wild card, or indeed anyone else who might have impressed you otherwise this year?
I think Newcastle would have to do a lot of keeping hold of good players that have done well this season and adding more good players that might push the good players they've got now, like their nose out of joint a bit. Like, Isak's a fantastic player, lots of transfer talk about him, including ourselves in that, by the way, in Arsenal. And who knows, maybe a couple of other teams, you know, on the continent that might fancy having a dabble at him. And if that happens to Newcastle, then they've got to replace him as well as adding to that as well.
Yeah, I think
again.
You need to add. Yeah.
So like it is just a sort of case of let's see. I mean, they could end up finishing third or potentially even second this season, Newcastle, which is wild. But you know, it's a really positive season for them. They've won a trophy. They will probably get European football no matter what, and it will more than likely be Champions League. So it's building blocks for them. And look, they don't need to win the league next year. Arsenal really do. We'd like to. And I pretty much guarantee you the fella we've got managing the club will think, all right, I enjoyed that. I know what I'm doing now next year, so let's go again. And Man City will be Man City, won't they? I mean, they're losing De Bruyne. Haaland will be back, you'd imagine, in some sort of better goal-scoring form. Really like Mamouche as a player. And look, it all depends on that first 10, 15 games of what your fixtures, what your form, and where are you falling in? As Neil mentioned, the Champions League, and this season for us, we were absolutely pitch perfect, 99.9% of the time. You know, we haven't lost many games at all this year, twice in the league, maybe two in Europe. I think is that's right. We lost the PSV away and PSG at home, didn't we? In Europe. And look, from a building point of our point of view, we're happy with that. Let's fly again next year. But you've got to be at our level this season to be in the conversation, and that's a big step for Newcastle, I'd say.
Let's focus on Arsenal first, because I'm going to get Laura Kirk on in a minute to give sort of her view on what's gone on recently and looking ahead. But when you talked there, Neil, about, you know, the fixtures for next season, and Mike mentions the start, you feel like of all the clubs that we've mentioned, even up to the also runs like Manchester United, they were not really expecting to kick on to that degree next year. You feel like Arsenal are the ones who need us the strongest start next year, because you feel like City can maybe tell themselves a story of, well, we've got all these likely new players in, it needs sort of time to gel. You feel like Liverpool won't panic too much if they have a tricky start next year, but you feel like Arsenal possibly would.
Yeah, you could imagine them doing something daft around the manager, which is just an odd state that they've ended up in. Or there being a bit of pressure, at least externally, from the fans, Mike, to put a bit of pressure on the manager. I'm of the view, you know, with Arsenal, that I think that at the end of a three-year thing, and that's my big thing about it, John and Mike, I feel as though that at the end of a three-year thing, and they've achieved what the aim of that three-year thing would have been if you go all the way back to 2022, which is makers are nailed on Champions League club again, and they've done that. But I think you can be the makers are nailed on Champions League club again, and then there's going to be the pressure to go on and win something major. Now, they could win the Champions League this year, so let's be clear about that. And I think if they do, they're almost going to be a different proposition.
Do you think even if they get to the final,
I think
that'd be enough?
And then that kicks them on. I think even just getting this one against Madrid, I think is going to be important for them. But they get to do against that, and even if they go out in the semi, they'll be able to tell themselves a story of, well, it was progression, because last year it was last 16 or quarters what they went out. So, and I think it'll feel good for them. So I'm expecting a little bit of that. I think there'll be a couple of the players will be better rested. You know, I also think they can almost shed quite easily a lot of the players who've been part of turning them into a regular Champions League club, but who aren't good enough to take the next step. There's a few of them who are out of contract. There's a few of them who you just feel as though we're going to move on. I think they've got a really clear pathway, Arsenal, Mike, to improve.
Yeah, they definitely have. It is getting to a point now, though, where it is that sort of tipping point where they will take it as progression. They'd be disappointed this season that probably they couldn't get over the line in the league. But it's balanced, as you said, with progression in the Champions League. They outpowered Real Madrid the way they outpowered Man City, really, in the 5-2 game, was it? Where it was a City scored twice that game, didn't they? It was a 5-1. Like, that's Arteta's Arsenal, I'd say, is in terms of just the way they outpower outpowered them teams and the quality teams. You can say Real Madrid have had injuries, Man City weren't at the best, this, that, and the other, it doesn't matter. The name's still on the badge and they've still got great players that they've outpowered in some games. If they add to it, they'll feel that, yes, it's not... Next season for them is the tipping point. I'm not necessarily like now. If we're still talking like this next season, I think you'll probably have more pundits and maybe even players in that Arsenal dressing room thinking, do I need to move here to get what I want in terms of titles? That'll be an interesting conversation to have this time next year probably, but definitely going into this summer, you know, they'll feel a bit, they'll tell themselves hard line stories about injuries, which, fair enough, like they've had the first year, but... You know, they've still managed to come second in a season where the team above them has outperformed everyone else essentially in the league quite comfortably. Hence why there's a 13-point gap between us and them. And I think they'll really want to try and add more pace and to the power they've already got really up front and a finisher. That's why I mentioned Isak before for Newcastle. There might be someone else out there in Europe who they might think if they miss out on him. Might be the missing piece of the puzzle for them, and if they start well, they can then believe that we're involved in this because we were the last two seasons.
I think it's interesting because when you speak to Laura, one of the things I'd want to know is, you know, does she think they need a goal scorer left winger, or does she think they need a goal scorer up front? Like, what do they actually want with Havertz/Mourinho? You know, let's be clear about this. Mourinho's banged them in, as odd as that is. He thinks he's 6-10, which, you know, fair play to him in the context of the criticism. And, you know, I don't think Arsenal could have bought better and got someone bedded in. So I don't think that's what's cost them the league title and all that sort of language. But I'm sort of the view, do they think they want or need, and a lot of this could even be related to how long is Havertz going to be out for and how serious is this? Is this one that you just don't just come back from, if you know what I mean? So it might be that they conclude that they need to. If I was them, I quite like Havertz up front, and I think it sort of works for them in a number of the ways they want to play. But I think if you haven't Havertz up front and you haven't Saka on the right, you need a left winger you're able to look at and think he can get us 20. You need to find the left side of Mo Salah is what you're looking for there. The lad who plays off the left, comes in on his right foot, and you feel as though he's going to be he's the man we build the attack around. I just think they need a player that they build the attack around who isn't Saka. And I think you're still building it around Saka because he's so special. But ultimately, I think that where you end up is getting one. But it might be that Arsenal now think, or Arsenal supporters now think, they need two. The thing about needing two is there's only so much money that goes round. And then within
you've
that...
They've not got loads of saleable assets who they'd want to sell. You'd think Arsenal either.
I think if you go through, Tomiyasu, they might want to sell, but he's not going to... You know, he's injured. He's so often injured. Zinchenko's got 1 year left in his deal. You know, I don't think you can command a massive fee for him. I think it then becomes, you know, is there someone out there who, for instance, might take a gamble on Martinelli?
Yeah.
And would you do Martinelli if you meant you were getting two belters? Yeah. And then, you know, do you feel as though we're stronger off the back of that? But you then need someone who is going to give you 60 million for Martinelli. And I don't know quite who that is. I wouldn't want Liverpool paying 60 million for Martinelli. You could have talked me into that in 2020.
Yeah.
But it's hard to do it now. So I think it is a little bit of a funny one in terms of, I think, you know, they've got a few lads who'll be leaving on a free. You know, I think that Jorginho, Sterling, obviously he's only a loanee. Partey will go. Tierney will go.
I wonder if they'll do a Fabio Vieira, because they loaned him, didn't they? And they played him a lot the season before and then loaned him this season, which felt weird.
I think they'll sell him because they've got Enweri, who's, you know, similar sort of attacking midfielder profile. So they're not going to worry about that. I think they've got bits. Enweri really helps with that. He helps with Saka. He helps with Odegaard. If both are fit, if you know what I mean, he helps you be your rotation option and your sub option. It's what they're going to do in attack. And that's what I'm really interested to find out what Laura thinks.
Well, let's get on.